Okay, welcome to Seed Time, everybody. Brian Pierce here. I have someone that I think most of you guys are going to recognize next to me. If not, at least you'll recognize his tattoos, because a lot of people are going to notice the fact that he has quite a few of them. Josh Demuth, better known as the Sheriff in Texas Motocross, actually, even so, in Arena Cross, Supercross, Motocross Outdoors, all over the place, anywhere you can twist your throttle. So we're sitting down at my house tonight in McKinney, Texas, we wanted to talk to Josh to get a better feel for everything that happened. Obviously, we talked to him in January 2012, earlier this year, after he officially retired. And we kind of got an idea of why he retired, what his thoughts were going into that. And then, unfortunately, you know, come May that same year, 5 months later, really bad wreck. And then all the kind of stuff that has come up because of that wreck. And that's what we want to know about. We want to know all the things that are going on, all the things that you've been through, where you're headed, where you see yourself headed, and just kind of, you know, if there's a way we can help, what we can do to get that kind of stuff out there. So that's, you know, why we wanted to talk tonight, you know, get some more emotion behind it, opposed to just kind of typing it up and being like, oh, we talked on the phone. So that's the idea. So everybody, Josh Demuth, this is Josh Demuth, the Sheriff. So how's your evening going?
It's good. It's real good. Yeah, just, you know, glad to be on. I'm glad you guys are able to talk to us. Glad I'm able to come in and walk on 2 feet instead of in a wheelchair. So it's, you know, been through a lot here these last, you know, 5-6 months, but everything's coming around. It's turned out really well.
Yeah. As I was saying, we talked to you back in January 2012, earlier this year. I say that as if it's a different year. It is still 2012. This is not a time machine. You guys don't have to freak out. When we talked to you then in December is when you had officially retired. You know, you were going to try to come back for 2012 season. You knew that you were hurting. You knew you were in a bad place. So, but obviously you're not going to stop riding. And that's why you were out riding in May. You know, you wanted to go out on your dirt bike. It's from what I've read, you might have been on a two-stroke. That's what seized up on you when you were out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we started out, my mechanic Jack and I, out racing, you know, the 2011, 2012 Arena Cross season. And man, it just, you know, we were second in points. And I just, you know, every time I got to the track, I just wasn't enjoying being there. I wasn't enjoying riding. I wasn't having any fun anymore. And it kind of was funny because I quit that way I wouldn't get hurt.
Right.
And like I said, I just, whenever I told myself I wasn't having any fun, there was no really reason for me to be out there, you know, doing. I mean, obviously it's a dangerous sport that we do. So if your head's not in it 100%, then, you know, you shouldn't be out there. Or that's the way I felt about it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, I had a good opportunity, a good job opportunity that came up. I was working in the oil and gas industry with some friends of mine. And it just was a good fit. It was at the right time. I wasn't really enjoying racing anymore. You know, like you said, obviously I still wanted to ride, but, you know, it was just, timing was everything. Yeah. And I felt like it was a time to, you know, finally say, okay, you know, I'm getting old. I need to take a break.
Well, I guess getting old is relative for sure. But we do know that you have probably had almost as many broken bones or surgeries as Evel Knievel. I mean, you have unfortunately had quite, you know, a splattered past of accidents, you know, and things that have just not gone the way that I can imagine that you would have want them to. So that is probably one of the reasons that it's like, at this point, oh, I really hurt. I want to wake up. I don't want to have to, like...
Well, people probably think I don't know how to ride because I've been hurt all the time.
He knows how to ride because we were just talking about the fact of how you blew by me at one of the torn races. I know you know how to ride, and it's an absolutely different level. You know, I have, luckily, knock on wood, never had a serious motorcycle wreck, like, you know, broken bones, going to the hospital, stuff like that. So I haven't been through that kind of an experience. And for the people that have, obviously, like, say, like Trey Kennard, you know, that is something that we talked about a lot. You know, people were blowing up all over the place. It's like, wow. But, you know, I mean, I read today that part of the reason that you had that infection in your leg is because your bone compounded, so that's outside of the skin, into the dirt. And that dirt that's in the bone is what, you know, caused the infection and then would not be able to heal. I mean, that is like... That is something I don't think people know. Like, I mean, I had to, you know, it's like, how do you think back on that? I mean, obviously there's the moment you had during and after. So, I mean, it's like.
I mean, it was the wreck that I had was, I mean, you know, the actual wreck wasn't so bad. I mean, I've had the you know, stuff like that happened before, you know, just jumping over the front of the bike. I mean, it was a big jump, but, you know, when I landed, it, my leg exploded so bad. I mean, it literally sounded kind of like a shotgun going off, you know. I thought I blew my knee out, kind of rolled around on the ground. I came to, and, you know, I opened my eyes, I'm looking, and my leg's laying beside me, like, clear up by my shoulder.
Yeah, like, that and, is not normal.
Yeah. And, it was funny because, you know, I threw the bike away and it was like, you know, I'd quit racing so I wouldn't get hurt and, was riding a two-stroke, something that shouldn't have, shouldn't have blown up.
I'm just
you know
having
I mean?
A good day.
I'm just yeah, having a good like, day, you know, cruising around, you know, was with friends and, was enjoying myself, you know, doing what I love to do. It's funny because things happen for a reason. Nobody knows why. The same thing with Trey. Trey's one of the nicest, best people that I've ever met. He actually, after the Pro Challenge here in Texas, he donated a bunch of money to me to help, you know, pay for my leg and some hospital bills and things like that. And, he does a lot of things with the church. You know, he just went over, you know, when he was hurt this last time, I think he went over to Africa with his church group and all that stuff. So
some mission trips and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great kid and a great person. And he's just, these things keep happening to him. You know, he's having injuries like I had. And it's, there's no real reason behind it why things happen to us. But I think that each individual thing makes us grow as people and makes us better people in the end. So, me having to go through this, it's been a tough time, but yet, you know, I've learned a lot from it. I've met a whole new group of people. It's actually been exciting. I mean, I thought it was going to be, you know, extremely hard and it was going to be depressed and things like that, but it's not. Your true friends come out and people that, you know, loved you and respected you or just wanted to be your friend, which come out. Like, you know, we had the benefit ride at Oak Hill.
Yep.
And, the amount of support that we got from the people to, you know, I didn't have insurance at the time. So, you know, the doctor bills and, you know, my leg, you know, cost me like $25,000 to get it. So it's just, it's a big expense and, you know, having kids and a family and doing all that stuff and then trying to race, you know, it's a huge expense for me. And I was just holding on to something maybe a little longer than maybe I should have.
Right.
But I enjoyed racing so much that that's what I wanted to do. And that's how I wanted to, you know, how I wanted to live my life. So, but all those guys donated so much. Guys that I thought didn't even know who I was donated stuff. And so, my benefit ride was a huge, I don't know, it was kind of a huge thank you, and it was people that, I don't know, it kind of choked me up on the inside to realize that many people cared.
Oh, yeah, I could totally agree in the sense that I think that it would probably be something that you don't expect. I mean, there are going to be people out there, obviously, that like your family, your good friends, that are going to step up and support you, and they're going to give what they can, and that's something that you, I guess, expect. You know, or hopefully, but it's like when you know, random people, you know, especially let's say like Trey Kennard comes down to the ride and donates, you know, money to you for that kind of a cause. I mean, that really does show, you know, not just how strong of a character I think he is, but how strong of a character you are, how much you've impacted, you know, his life and how much you've impacted what he does, you know. So thinking back on that, you know, on your career, you know, if you were to go, oh my gosh, you know, that could have been a moment where I really impacted people's lives with an action, or maybe even an action that you were like, holy crap, that was something maybe I shouldn't have done, or, you know, things like that. You know, what some of the highlights and some of the pros and cons of your past pro career?
Well, I think, the biggest thing for me was when I was growing up, all the pro riders that are, you know, that, when I was racing in the 60s and 80s and growing up and stuff like that, I guess to say everybody kind of puts their pants on, you know, one leg at a time. So,
it would be like,
it's going to be like a mess, you know, especially now I'll be falling over.
It would be, I mean, we could try.
Yeah. But no,
you take mine
just,
off, you can try them on, it'd be fun, you know.
They're not thin, they're the skinny ones. I only wear the big shorts because my leg doesn't fit in pants.
True, but I'm not a hipster. I mean, you make it sound like I got skinny jeans on or something.
But no,
cold
I think
now.
Yeah,
might be
maybe a little bit. Now, the biggest thing, when I was growing up, you know, I was able to go and talk to pro riders that was at my local track. You know, we went to, I remember when I was 10, I went to the Meadowlands Supercross in New Jersey, and they had the 60 race for the intermission deal. You know, I was lucky enough to win that, but the whole day we got to, you know, park in the pro pits and hang around, and we got the pit passes and all that stuff. And I remember going up and talking to guys like, you know, Jeff Ward and Jeff Stanton and Damon Bradshaw and you know, and all those guys. And everyone that I talked to was so nice, and you know what I mean? And they went out of the way. Like, I sat, you know, in Jeff Ward's box van and watched practice videos of the guys riding.
Oh,
you know?
That's
and,
so cool, yeah.
You know, when I was 10 years old, and I remember that stuff, and I remember what the guys at the local track, you know, we would go, and I'd be on my 60, and we'd park with all the pro guys, and you know, and they kind of took us in, and so, you know, it was just one of those deals. I wanted to be like that when I grew up, you know what I mean? I wanted to be able to, you know, to help the kids, to share with the kids what I learned, you know, because I think there's kind of a stigma around pro riders. You know, some of them are super, super nice, and then the other ones, you know, they're
there's
just
a few egotistical ones out there.
There is, and I just, I don't know. You know, I think I had that kind of mentality growing up. You know, we didn't have a lot of money. My parents did everything we could to go racing, and so, you know, me coming from that kind of background and them doing whatever they could to get me to the races, and then being me fortunate enough to be able to make something out of my racing career and give something back to them, and then give something back to what all those people that I had growing up gave to me.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And I think you're in a very valuable spot to be able to do that right now. It's, you know, as we were saying, the turnout at your benefit ride, I believe it was September 23rd at Oak Hill, motocross track, obviously, you know, the turnout there shows that there are a lot of people that want to support you. And I think that now you have a really good chance to kind of turn, not that you haven't done it before, but even now that you can turn your career into something that's going to help support all those people by supporting them, you know, like, because you can go out to races now and you can kind of be from the sidelines. You know, you can be a coach, you can be a mentor, you can, you know, be things maybe to people that they don't have, maybe father figure type stuff. I think that that's really cool. And, you know, to be able to do that, I mean, so going forward, when it comes to the moto world, what's your first kind of inkling of how you're going to be involved? Do you have a desire? Do you think it's take some time to just, I mean, obviously it's only still been a handful of months, but you know, I mean, you know, what are your thoughts on that going forward?
Well, I mean, I've been around racing ever since I've been, you know, what, 2 years old.
You know
what I mean? My dad and his friends used to race cross-country races, hair scrambles, things like that.
Like the cool kids.
And so, you know, I always grew up around racing, and I grew up around bikes, and it's been my whole life since I've been 4 years old. You know, it's every weekend and all my life, it's always been about dirt bikes. So, you know, obviously, if there's something that I could do to give back or get a job in the industry or teach or just be at the races, even the local level, and just watch kids that are coming up, you know, and try to help them or be there for them, you know, and I'm all about that. We went, my first race was actually the Pro Challenge. I went down there
I don't know who took it. I cannot remember. I tried to search all over the place, but there was a sick picture of you that somebody took. I think maybe it was like right on the starting line or in a very, it might have been a straightaway where you're just kind of standing there, and it's like, I mean, there was no posing, there was, you know, nothing lavish. You're just being you standing there, and obviously with your leg and everything, I mean, it encapsulated where you're at right now perfectly. So whoever did that, congratulations, great picture.
Yeah, but it was Shan Garcia with Whole Shot and all that.
Awesome, okay.
So you know, being from Texas and meeting those guys like that, it's been super cool. Those guys have always been behind me and helped out, and they probably put me in their magazine probably a little more than they should. But but you know, we're friends.
Nobody fucks with the sheriff. Yeah. I mean, you gotta respect.
No, it's good. But you know, just over the whole years, I've met so many nice people and so many good people, and that's what I said. Like my ride day, so many people come out, so many people are there, and it really showed me how much people care. But you know, the thing, you know, I've got people that call me all the time and, you know, they're asking how I'm doing. And, you know, I think people really worry about me being bummed out. And right. it wasn't nothing like that. You know, I think eventually someday I'll be back and able to ride again. Who knows, maybe even race again. You know, as of right now, I mean, you know, I'm just kind of taking it easy. I just got my leg, you know, about a month ago, maybe a little bit longer. But, you know, I'm still getting used to it. It still hurts quite a bit. I've been able to mountain bike and things. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. My shoulder's still messed up. I still, you know, have to have a shoulder and a foot surgery.
Yeah, that was going to be another thing. It's like, I mean, that's because is it the left foot that had the left leg that had the rod that didn't kind of.
Yeah, the rod I already had. I had compound fractured this one a long time ago in 05, actually, the 05 season when I was riding for Yamaha in the arena cross. I come up short on the big double. I clipped a hay bale going around the corner.
Yeah.
Had to throw my bike away, same type thing. And when I landed in the, you know, in the upside of the landing. And when I did it, it shattered my leg and blew out the side of my leg. So I had a rod in there previously. Well, this time, you know, this one kind of snapped and busted out. And then this one, it drove the rod into my foot and exploded my foot into like a million pieces. So, you know, when they put it back together, they got it back. But when they did, there's kind of like a cage that goes into my foot with a bunch of pins. And when they kind of tightened everything down enough to where it wouldn't move and they fused everything together. Well, when they did, it kind of, my foot's crooked basically.
Right.
So as I walk, you know, my heel will twist and everything pushes the outside. So I'm only walking on the outside part of my foot.
Right.
And then, you know, the outside part of my foot was broke. Well, you know, so it's all messed up. There's a spot where, you know, the outside bone there, it's all popped up and then it's broke back here. So it's still not in place. They need to go back in and like repin it and do a bunch of stuff. And then my shoulder, I tore my rotator cuff and a bunch of stuff. And
that's, it sounds like your shoulder, obviously you hurt it, you dislocated it during the wreck, but I mean, like, you've also had like rotator cuff issues.
Just a bunch of stuff.
We've all rolled on the ground, unfortunately. We know how much it sucks, but I mean,
it's my shoulders. The only thing really is holding it in is the bone in the socket, basically. But you know,
nobody needs ligaments.
I need to get it fixed, but for the time being right now, it's like I spent the entire summer in the hospital.
Yeah.
And when I wasn't in the hospital, I was sitting inside my house on the couch in front of the TV because I couldn't move.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I got out and it's like everything's sort of healed up enough to where, you know, I can go and ride my bicycle a little bit. You know, we can go out to dinner, we can do things and be social and I don't know, kind of be a little bit normal, you know what I mean? Get back to life and, you know, enjoy hanging out with family and my kids and friends and things like that. So I've kind of put those things off just a little bit and waiting just so that I can enjoy the last part of the, you know, the summer and the last part of the fall before, you know, before the winter time hits and then I'll get everything fixed because I'll be out, you know, another 5 or 6 months, I'm sure, with that stuff, so.
Well, you know, when we talked back in January, we did talk a lot about the fact that, you know, your kids and being able to spend time with them and things, and obviously you've had this wreck. How has this impacted them? I mean, I would imagine that they've had quite, you know, do they get it? You know, do they understand, like, the impact and stuff like that, or?
You know, it was, at first, I think it was really scary for them. They didn't really know what was going on. They just knew I got hurt real bad. You know, for the first 2 weeks, I mean, I was in the hospital. My leg was so messed up, my foot was so messed up, that they had me on so many drugs. I really didn't know where I was at, let alone, you know, having, you know, to be able to talk to them. But, you know, in the end, it was just kind of, oh, you know, dad crashed and got hurt and, you know, he's going to be all right. Well, then when the time came where my leg was infected and they didn't know what was going on, and then, you know, I had to tell them that, hey, you know, we're going to cut my leg off, but don't worry about it. We're going to get a new one. You know, it's going to be a little while. And I, you know, I think it kind of scared them at first, but once, you know, they actually came and see me in the hospital, you know, a few days after I got my leg cut off, and, to sit down with them, show them what was going on. You know, we had a computer there You know, they actually had stuff on YouTube where they, you know, basically would do it, not a real surgery, but they did, like, you know, on a plastic leg, and they would show you how they would do things step by step.
An easy way to walk them through it.
Basically. And so, you know, we sat down with both of them and, you know, showed them everything on the computer, what they were going to do. And then, you know, I was able to tell them, because I knew more, like a timeline of when I was going to get a fake leg and how long it was going to take me to get back. And, you know, for them not to worry about it, everything was going to be fine. I just need some time to be able to heal up and I'll be able to run and play basketball and bicycle and do all that stuff again. So, you know, it was once they found out that and they seen me and knew I was all right, then everything was fine. They were just, you know, they were excited that I wasn't hurt any more than that. My little man, though, he was awesome. He was, you know, we told him, like, well, when we get, you know, out of the hospital, we're going to get a new leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we got to come home, and we came home. You know, we went to my mom and dad's house. They were staying with them, and I showed up, and I didn't have my leg. I was just in a wheelchair. Hey, where's your new leg? I thought they were going to give me a new leg, you know? And I'm like, no, not yet. You know, we got to wait a little bit. And so, yeah, it was funny. He was like, well, what did they do with the old one? You know, where's your old leg? I was like, yeah. I'm like, well, they kept it. Well, where is it? And I was like, it's in heaven. It's waiting on me.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? He's like, so, you know, when you go to heaven, you're going to have your leg back? I said, yeah, it's up there. It's waiting on me. It'll be all good. So, you know, it was kind of funny, but now it's like, you know, they got to see me with the fake leg and they're all, you know, it's cool,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, dad's got a fake, you know, robot leg, so everything's good.
Right.
But,
well,
yeah.
One other thing I noticed that you have right now is a mustache.
I do.
Now, I mean, it's kind of barely there, but you're growing it in.
We're working on it.
So, yeah, that's okay.
We're working on it.
Yeah, I'm in the midst of No Shave November right now. That's why I look like I'm close to a woolly mammoth. I'm trying to bring it back, you know, a little bit. And then you're going for the Movember. So.
The Movember, yeah. It's so like,
what,
you know,
what,
it's,
what brought that on? Is it something you've done before, or just something you saw about and wanted to get in there?
No, I mean, this is only a few days, actually. I can grow a pretty sick mustache. The beard thing, see, the beard doesn't work for me. I actually shaved today.
Are you a little too white trashy?
Yeah, you know, it's patchy, a little here, a little there, but, you know, I'm 33, I still can't grow a beard, it's terrible. But the mustache, on the other hand, I can do that. This is only a few days, so we've, you know, we got another, what, almost 20, 22?
So, yeah.
So 6 or 7, we got another 22 days. I mean, I might look like Tom Selleck or Burt Reynolds by the end of it, who knows?
I'm hoping you do.
Yeah. Because I'll come back.
We'll have to hang out. It's like, and now, check me out. So are you signed up for any, like, Movember with the donations and things like that for any of the...
Yeah, you know, I mean, we... you know, October is obviously the cancer month for the ladies, and everybody wears the pink and stuff. For anybody who doesn't know, like, you know, November is obviously male cancer month, so, you know, everybody grows beards and mustaches and does all that. So, you know, my girlfriend and I, we try to get into as much of those things as we can. She does a lot of the 5K runs, you know, the mud runs, Susan G. Coleman run? Yeah, like, and they
breast cancer, right?
For breast cancer and stuff. So,
it's probably not the worst thing to be at.
No, you can always get a fake boob. It's good.
Right? We're kidding, but seriously,
No, no.
Not a joking matter.
No, no, I mean, you could be Lance.
You could get a fake boob on your tit, or in your...
you get a fake ball, it's easy. Maybe they'll put a, you know, you can get like a tennis ball so it squeaks.
Yeah. Oh! I think they call them, I think they actually have a name for them in animals. It's called a nuttical. So that way, like, because if you, like, say, like, Izzy, if I got Izzy fixed and I was like, oh, I feel bad because he doesn't have his balls anymore, I can get fake testicles put in my dog so that way he feels like more of a man. I was like, my dog just wants to eat poop and just slobber on stuff. Like, he cares about his nuttical, right? You know? But okay, yeah, so obviously there's tons of cancer stuff.
But, yeah, I mean, there's tons of cancer stuff. There's a bunch of people that donated to me and done a million nice things for me. So we try to, any time that we can, we try to give back to anyone for any kind of foundation or anything. We actually went the prosthetic place that helped me out with my leg. The guy that's really been behind it has you know, a wife that does triathlons. Okay. And she's a world-class triathlon, above knee amputation.
Oh wow!
And so she does like the Paralympics and all that stuff for the triathlon, and she's really good. And you know, so we've gotten to talk to them, and we went and did a you know, she needed some money to go over to the World Championships. I think they were in like New Zealand or something this year. So, you know, she had a little like kind of benefit dinner, kind of like we did to help her with her trip and expenses and things. So, you know, we try to go and do those things. You know, there's a lot of other people. You know, not just me, but everybody out there. I mean, everybody's got some kind of problem or something that they're dealing with, and everyone needs help. You know, whether it's cancer or someone sick in the family, or, you know, people lost their jobs or anything. So we try to do as much as we can and help people as well.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and it's all walks of life. It's not just racing. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, everybody struggles with many things, and with me racing and you know, I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of people and meet a lot of friends and stuff. You know, there's a lot of people that go through problems, so we try to give back and help, and even if it's just coming and supporting them, you know, if we're struggling ourselves, it's something that we can be there and be a part of.
Nice. Well, I think it's extremely valiant effort, and you know, I've tried to get more involved with that kind of stuff, and it's hard because it really, you're like, oh, but it's a Saturday, you know, I don't want to be out there for 5 hours. But you think about, like, yourself, you know, all the trouble you've, you know, all the months and months of rehab, you know, and surgeries. And it's like, you know, if I go spend a Saturday to help raise money for this kind of a thing, it's like you're giving back to the fact that maybe there are people out there that can't even make it to those kind of events because they need to help. So, you know, obviously those are the kind of things that we should do to give back. It's just as a human race.
Oh, absolutely. Know, so. No, I mean, I think, you know, and I've always believed in, you know, karma is a big thing. You know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
You have all these people, for my instance, you know, all these people that, that, you know, half of them I didn't even know. And they're coming out of the woodworks like, hey, you know, you helped my son way back in the day. And, or, you know, that, you know, they've seen some arena cross races and, you know, have been an inspiration or kind of a hero to their little one. And it's, you know, it's made their racing career better and stuff. And it, you know, people tell me that, and it's like when you're out there racing and you're doing all those things, you don't really realize how many people that you affect with some of the things that you say, or by how you carry yourself, or by what you do. And you know, it's really meant a lot to me to hear some of the things that, that people have said, you know, about me and to me, you know, at the races and stuff, meeting all these people. So, you know, it's made me feel good about my racing career that I was able to do something, and I was able to be able, I guess, to help so many people.
And
people that I didn't even know I helped are telling me I helped them. So it just,
awesome.
Yeah, it makes me feel good. And, you know, even though all the things that have happened, I still feel like my racing career was something good.
Oh, no, we absolutely know it was something good. I mean, you're 3-time arena cross champion. You even won the Buku arena cross championship.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody called that defunct. I do not think it's defunct. You won it at the time. It is there.
Yeah.
We can call it a championship. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get really deep for a second. How many tattoos do you have?
I'm going for one big one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I had a lot more, but they cut half of them off. So
you're
now,
like, I don't even like those anymore.
Yeah. So now I got, you know, I got a couple of half tattoos because they saved part of my calf. So the big ones I had on my calf are all kind of wrapped around on my nub now. So I have a nub tat for a little bit. But
a nub tat.
A nub tat. You know, I'm actually gonna go as soon as.
You know, that's probably a fetish for some people.
Might be. I don't. Honey, is it working for you?
Do you have any idea how much of a career you now have?
Yeah. Exactly. I've been thinking about going. You know, you know, one of my best friends in the whole world who did all my tattoos, a lot of you guys might know him, Chubbs, passed away a couple May's ago.
Okay.
You know, I'm still good friends with everyone at the tattoo shop. I've been down there quite a bit, and we've been joking around. You know, we were talking about dressing my nub up for Halloween, you know, getting some googly eyes, you know, some stuff from Hobby Lobby, maybe a fake mustache, something. So, but
it's just me in the nub tonight, buddy.
Yeah, it's just me in the nub. So. we've been talking about, you know, there's some space on the front. We're thinking about getting like a you know, like an old Western guy, maybe a, you know, some eyes and like a mustache and all the front on the front of it, make it look, you know, just try to spice it up a little bit.
So. bring some fun to the nub. The nub's just hanging out. He needs a good time.
Oh yeah, he needs to have a good time. You know, I don't always have my leg on, so you know, sometimes the nub's all propped up on the bar stool or something. Somebody, you know. Good conversation.
Up, you know, give it a little stroke.
Yeah.
You know, hey, no, what's up? You know, just give them a good time. All right. Speaking of a good time, for those of you who have absolutely no idea what you're looking at, if you've made it this far into the video, this is seat time. Seat time isn't typically, I guess, this formal. Josh Demuth, you know, he's meant a lot to me since I've become kind of a Texan in the past 10 years. So I really wanted to take the time and really make this something different from what we've done, kind of, you know, step it up, make it a little bit more polished and have a little bit more fun with it in a different sense. Seat Time is typically, we run episodes for off-road news throughout the week. You can find us at seattime.co. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/seattime. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/seattime_co. So that is all the social crap for where you can find Seat Time. Now, Josh, I would like you to tell everyone as well, where they can, if you know they're in the mood now to either donate money or maybe come to you to get in contact with you to try to find a way to help you, get you involved, things like that. Like, how can people get in touch with you to, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, obviously, if it's any kind of donation or anything like that, I mean, everything helps. You know, obviously, we don't ask for those things. You know what I mean? I'm not... you know, like I said, everybody's got problems. So, and we totally understand that. But the people that have donated, we really appreciate it. My family, my kids, everyone, because, like I said, I didn't have insurance. Everything really, really helps. But, you know, you can reach me at joshdemuth@hotmail.com for anything, for any kind of benefits, or if, you know, somebody's in the hospital, you know, pray that he's not, but you know, anything like that. You know, we always try to make time for everybody. You know, and then if not, you always call me.
Right.
Everybody knows how to get a hold of me, I think. So we've got, like I said, I've got a lot of friends in the industry. These guys know how to get a hold of me. But the easiest is joshdemuth@hotmail.com.
Awesome. So Dallas Supercross. I don't know the exact date. Obviously, I should probably know the exact date. But
it's April 18th. It's always like the first of April.
It's like February-ish.
Oh, is it February now?
Yeah.
February 18th?
Yeah, because like,
oh, yeah, they switch it up.
It's way early now because it's the first East typically, right?
Okay, yeah, the first East.
So, are you going to go?
Absolutely. We'll be there
hang
for
out?
Sure.
Yeah. Have some beers?
Absolutely.
Maybe
absolutely.
Some cheers?
Good yeah, time. Who knows? I might even be racing. Who knows? I doubt that. I'll be racing my wheelchair around the parking lot, baby.
With me. I'm going to find a wheelchair, and we're going to race each other, and it's going to be a good time. And we're just going to have somebody who's sober drive us home.
There we go.
Because
there
that's where we roll. Good. All right, seriously, though, I really appreciate you coming
absolutely.
Out to Seat Time.
Thank
Not
you.
Only do we, but we also high five.
All right.
Because high fives are way better than handshakes, because that's professional, and, well, we try not to be. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Remember to always enjoy a pint full of awesome. Go check it out, seattime.co. Everybody, peace. Thanks, guys. Welcome to C-Tab. No. Okay.
Right? Yeah. Unless you just feel like staring down the camera and treating it like your bitch.
It's an awkward moment.
Yeah. So, there's always that.
The agenda is no agenda. So, if we start talking about dogs and why it's funny to cut their balls off.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of that, we need to go get little man taken care of.
See? See? I like to bring up things that are relevant.
My whole glass has a hole in it, Dad.